Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So you already don't agree. Hell, I don't even agree because I'll wake up tomorrow and change my mind. But sometimes it is fun to send love towards wrestling. Sounds weird. And that's what we're gonna do today. Because booking in wrestling is the most important thing there is. Doesn't matter who you are, if the person in power gets behind you, you're gonna be in a great position. Sometimes this turns moments into memories too. So here is the 10 best booking decisions in wrestling history. Number 10, the grand AEW comeback. December 18th, 2019 is quite the date for the AEW fans. This was the Dynamite when the Dark Order and their creepers attacked the Elite. And mostly everybody hated it. I tried to find the positive spin because that's just what I do, and people got mad at me. Cue 50 Cent gif. To be fair, it did tie into what a lot of people were thinking at the time, which was that the show felt a little bit directionless. There didn't seem to be an overall arc to anything, and it felt very much like multiple programs had been thrown together. There was still a lot of love, but you could see the disappointment from the wider fan base. At the time, AEW did have a booking committee too, so what did Tony Khan do? He heard the criticism, disbanded that, and took on what the final say would be. It was an inspired decision. So when the 1st of January 2020 rolled around, we got an episode that was pure fire while also re-establishing the major stars. Cody Rhodes had a banger in his ongoing feud with Darby Allin, Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks tangled the Death Triangle in a ridiculous clash, and even Hangman Adam Page on commentary was great. Proved there was more to his game. By the end, everybody felt much more enthused about the future, so yeah, they were right. Talk about turning your company around, just as the tide seemed to be turning. No, I got that wrong. Number 9, Hulk Hogan is the third man. This was all about timing. Hulk Hogan knew how massive this would be if he went bad guys after years of being the proverbial babyface, which is why for ages he said no. What if it all went wrong? Where would he go next? The truth, though, was that in 1996, the audience was tired of Hulkamania, and they wanted something different. If you need a modern-day equivalent, it's how fans felt about Roman Reigns in 2014, 2015, 2016, 2017. You get the point. The difference, of course, was that Hulk had hit the ultimate high as the face of wrestling, but he needed to do something new. So he did. Ingrained into wrestling history now, we did indeed get to bash the beach with Kevin Nash and Scott Hall teasing they had a third man to run roughshod over WCW. And yeah, it was Hulk Hogan. Him dropping the leg on Randy Savage caused such outrage people littered the ring with garbage, and it totally reinvented Hulk as he became the top star of the industry again. It was quite incredible. It really was an ingenious decision, however, and was done exactly when it should have been. Say what you want about World Championship Wrestling, but this sent the company through the roof and made them more competitive than ever. It basically ruled. Number 8, Shane Douglas throws a belt. Now, it's no surprise that it did come from the mind of Paul Heyman, who was always on the ball with this stuff, because he decided to make some noise. Happening in 1994, Heyman told Shane Douglas to take his NWA World Heavyweight title and throw it on the floor. Douglas took this one step further and cut a mad promo on the organization too, saying it died 7 years ago. It was the most real thing in ages, especially because the WWF and WCW were quite cartoony at this point. And look, people just didn't do this sort of thing in the mid-90s, so it sent shockwaves around the place. Some individuals were genuinely offended. The idea was to send the message that if ECW were willing to do this, how far would they go elsewhere? Yeah, the answer was really far. It allowed Extreme Championship Wrestling to stand on its own 2 feet. And look at it this way. Here we are in 2024, and humans still chant those initials. Let's not pretend that this all didn't work very well. The timing was also superb, as Shane was basically right. There was nothing the NWA could do, and they rode this wave to become the ultimate alternative promotion It's pretty damn cool. Number 7, Hulk Hogan instantly becomes the champ. So we go to the other side of Hulk Hogan here because, yeah, Vince McMahon knew what he wanted to do before he did it. Now, Hogan had been in the WWE before, but when he returned in 1983, it took literally weeks before he was crowned the new world champion. By January 84, we'd already pulled the trigger. He was sold as the last-minute replacement to take on the Iron Sheik 2, and given that he broke out of the camel clutch, which nobody did, fans lapped this up. Who was this larger-than-life superhero? The Machine then got behind Hulkamania as a concept, and look at the results. The whole business is basically still built on what we accomplished here, and it's why people still talk about the man. Change the game. You could argue without this boom, wrestling is totally different nowadays too, and a mega star was born. Of course, McMahon is also responsible for this because it was his call. I can't imagine he ever made a better one.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Before we go any further, though, this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, we all carry around different stressors. They can be big life worries or just, you know, little things like your favorite wrestler not being used properly. The thing is, when we keep them bottled up, it really can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down. It is really helpful too for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. Therapy basically empowers you to be the best version of yourself. So why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and best of all, suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/whatculture today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/whatculture.
Number 6, the WrestleMania 13 submission match. This is still my favorite match ever. Kind of sums it up. The best part about it is Steve Austin didn't even know about it till he saw it on TV when he freaked out a bit. He didn't have any submissions, and yet that was the whole point of the thing. As it turned out, though, there was an even larger reason for it. As wrestling went through another shift, Bret Hart was being viewed as the bad guy, whereas Stone Cold was the cool ass-kicking anti-hero. You couldn't just ignore it. Thankfully, we didn't, but man, what we did to accept it was masterful. It all came down to the performances put in at WrestleMania 13, where we did indeed turn the Hitman heel and the Rattlesnake babyface just because of the way they acted. The final piece of the puzzle was Austin trapped in the sharpshooter as blood ran down his face. It was the greatest thing anybody had ever seen. He also passed out, which gave him all the integrity in the world. And by the end of it, we'd set a whole new direction for the company. Trust me, that doesn't just happen. The match itself is also brilliant and an emotional roller coaster, and the entire audience totally understood what we were doing here. That's how smart it was. This happened all the way back in 1997 too, and it is still excellent. Really is something else indeed. Number 5, the Montreal Screwjob. Yes, we have spoken about this to death. We're all bored of it. When you are talking about industry shifting events, though, this is right up there, or in at number 5. I won't bore you with the details, as I'm sure you know, but let's look at it this way. Even though Vince McMahon had legitimately screwed Bret Hart on his way out of the WWF, his reaction to it changed everything. Because it was impossible for the finer points not to get out there because everybody wanted to talk about it, which is when Vince went on the offensive. Bret screwed Bret, he doesn't feel bad. Everybody can shut up. What an asshole. I doubt McMahon knew what was round the corner, but it created such hoopla, fans turned on him, and what did Vince do? Embraced it. It was excellent, as he was the perfect fall for I'm gonna rage against the machine Steve Austin, and you know the rest. This was the Attitude Era, and the people ate it up, as they should have done. It was awesome. It also triggered one of the most successful periods in wrestling history, given the idea is to make as much money as possible. Yeah. This was unreal booking from all sides. Number four, turning The Rock heel again. I still think about this. That's how much it got me. The whole story leading up to the Survivor Series was also all time, because The Rock seemed to have finally embraced being a good guy and he was kicking the McMahon's ass. He was done with them. As it turned out, it was a very well-worked ruse by the Future Corporation because they wanted Rocky to win the Deadly Game tournament, become the world champion, and ensure Steve Austin never got near that damn belt again. Even on paper, that sounds good, but the real joy is what it did for the Great One. He embraced his role as the top villain of the company so well, you could see something special was happening. Every promo was a laugh riot, so much so you didn't care whether he wrestled or not. The big question for every Raw was, when is The Rock going to cut a promo? The WWF had also learned that whenever they wanted, they could turn him good guy again, because that had worked too, so they just had a gem of a talent. All that as well, before we talk about the fact that our new corporate champion was a generational star. It also gave Stone Cold someone he could fight in the ring, and dare I say it, this was nigh on perfect. I mean, how could you do it better? Number three, Giant Barbar calls an audible. Some people like to say that Giant Barbar is the best booker ever. That alone tells you how well regarded he was. It's mostly due to the plan he established with one Kenta Kobashi when they decided Kenta should lose his first 63 matches. Yep. Sounds mad, right? You have to have a real skill for wrestling to keep that going without losing the connection with the fans, but it worked. Before long, Kenta was the top dog in all Japan, and when he defeated Ace Mitsuhara Misawa for the top title, Barbar had passed away. That's how patient he was. He was also so smart, however, as we learned on the 8th of June 1990. Super main eventer Jumbo Tsuruta was defending his gold against Misawa, with Jumbo set to win. When Barbar saw how crazy the fans were for Mitsuhara, though, and the fact he sold a ton of merchandise, he changed the finish mid-match and had Misawa win. You want to know the result? A proper boom period that basically happened overnight? That is some serious skills. Number two, Okada's shock IWGP win. At Dominion 2023, Sanada narrowly defeated Yotsuji, who had just returned from an excursion across Germany, Mexico, and the UK. It was a great match, and while you'd figure most fans assume Sanada had no chance of losing because he was the champion, you'd be wrong, and this is why. Now, yes, he was victorious. 11 years ago at New Beginning, this exact thing happened. Because one Kazuchika Okada had returned from a similar journey, where he challenged Hiroshi Tanahashi at New Beginning 2012, and yep, Okada walked away as the brand new IWGP Heavyweight Champion. The place lost it. I can only assume that Booker Gedo had seen what we all now see in the Rainmaker and realized he could build the entire company around the man. My word, he was right. Okada is still going strong today and is considered one of the best ever. Now, this would have happened anyway because he's just too talented, but thanks to this call, it happened way sooner than anybody would have guessed, and it goes to show. Sometimes we just have to go crazy with these things. It really can click. Number one, the Isshin Gundan invasion. In 1983, New Japan was in the midst of a red-hot period driven by the Isshin Gundan stable that was born out of the ashes of the International Wrestling Enterprise. The IWE, as they were known, were a legit group that invaded NJBW, much in the same way as ECW did during WWE's invasion storyline in 2001. Well, that's a relative example. The Isshin Gundan was something else, however, because it was a fictional breakaway promotion of defectors that just wanted to run riot. If you're now thinking that sounds like the NWO, yep, that's where the idea came from. It was such a huge success, especially because leader Ricky Choshu was an incredible figure and one of the first super cool heels. His program with Tatsumi Fujinami went on to sell out most arenas it visited, mostly because it was so fresh and compelling in several different ways. Grudge rivalries between native talents were rare, plus there was a meta edge that was all about jealousy and trying to become the new face of the company. This was ahead of its time. Every match had mega heat too, and the only reason it failed was because company founder Antonio Inoki was caught in an embezzlement scandal, with Chosu leaving in disgust. Well, that, and he realized Inoki was always going to be the focal point of the promotion, no matter what. Just think how many other people have done this since, though. So ironically, it really did take over. Now, please do click the video on the screen, which is 10 Wrestling Goats with One Fatal Flaw, to continue to talk about all-time stuff. Like the video, share the video, and subscribe. And just have the best day ever. My name is Simon Miller, and I will talk to you again soon.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.